Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to Wonderland on Points. We are so happy that you decided to join us today. We have a very special guest. This is a two-time guest of Wonderland on Points. We have Allie from Travel Pointers with Allie. So welcome back.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be back, you guys.
We're so excited to have you back. And you've had some pretty big changes in your house since the last time that we had you on the podcast, which I'll link the other episode that Allie was in for everybody, because she was one of our very, very early guests on the podcast. She's an OG of the Wonderland on Points podcast. So in case you guys haven't heard it, check the show notes for that. But Allie, let's talk about how your family has changed and tell us how that's changed travel for you guys as well.
Yes, I have a baby. Well, he's 14 months now, so I don't know. Is that a baby or a toddler yet?
In the transition stage in between the two, I would say.
I'm starting to see a little teaser from toddlerhood, so that's been fun.
Oh, yeah.
I had a baby last May, and it's just so fun. Travel is so much fun now too. I think everybody's so scared about traveling with babies or like with kids in general. But I always tell new moms, because I've talked to a lot in like my DMs, and I'm getting a lot of new moms as like followers, and they're like, what do I do? Like, when should I take my first trip with the baby? And like, as early as possible, because they're so much easier. Not to say it's easy, but when they're like little potatoes is what I call them.
Yes.
Yes.
I 100% agree.
Yes, they can't do much besides just like sleep and like have a good time. We had the best time traveling while he was super little. And then now he's in like full walking and crawling mode. So It's still fun, but it's different.
This is that really hard stage where mentally you're like, okay, this is still a lap child. Until they turn two, I want to save money and I want them to always be a lap child and fly for free, or if it's international, a very reduced cost. But at the same time, now they're so busy and they're so wiggly that I remember almost feeling relieved when my daughter turned two. I was bummed that I now had to pay for tickets, but also I was so sick of having her in my lap. But to your point earlier, it is so much easier when they're younger. I was just going back through a London trip that I took 12 years ago. My son, my first child, was only 4 months old, and we did the bassinet seat on the plane. And at that point, he couldn't crawl. He was still little enough that it was so much easier. So don't, parents, if you are hearing this, I mean, yeah, it's going to be hard. They have a lot of stuff, but don't just completely overlook or discount that time. It is still a good time to travel.
For sure. Yeah. We were able to do a bassinet we went to Italy when he was 3.5 months, and then Switzerland at 5 months. And the bassinets are game changers, and nobody knows about them. Like, nobody has seen them, and they're basically, and usually in every cabin of the airplane, if you're traveling internationally. And for the most part, like, they're free as long as you get in the right seat that has them. They're game changers, because they basically get their own little seat and they get to sleep, and then you get to like chill and do your own thing.
Yeah. In fact, can you give everybody a little tip about, you know, if you're traveling with a little baby, how do you go about getting these bassinets? Because I saw it for the first time on your Instagram, because I traveled zero with my daughter as a baby. I didn't travel for like the first 10 years of her life, which is really sad. But I feel like there are people who this is going to be new information to, and I think we should speak to them a little bit.
Yeah, I'm by no means an expert, but when I was pregnant, we planned these trips. And so you had to wait till the baby was born to be able to like add them as a lab infant, which that gave me like as a type A planner, I was like, what do you mean? I can't figure out their tickets and all the things. So, but anyways, once he was born, I was able to add him as a lap infant. And then just, I depends on the airline. Some are really good about their seat maps and will have little icons for bassinets on them. Some not so good. But there's a tool, a website, a couple different websites. I think Aerolopa is a great one, and it gives you the seat maps of all different airlines and their planes, and tells you where like, bassinets are, where all different seat maps. But you can call the airline and just say, I'd like to be moved to a bassinet seat. And for the most part, they, as long as you've like paid to be in that cabin, then you could, they'll just move you, and they're reserving those seats for parents that need bassinets. So they should be available as long as you're booking it ahead of time. And then they'll plop you in that seat. And, then as for the bassinet, you can only use it like basically when you're in the air. So they don't have it out during takeoff. They'll make you take the baby out if there's turbulence. So that happened at one plane, and I was like, the baby is dead asleep. Like, don't take it. He was fine. And then once you start to land, they put the bassinet away. But they're pretty small. Like, my baby's on the smaller side, and I would say he probably couldn't have used it past maybe like 7 or 8 months. He tried it at 5 months, and then we didn't fly again internationally until like 13 months, and he was way too big at that point.
Yeah. Well, it's still, I feel like it's such a good, almost an insider tip. And I think people just avoid travel, but I think there's something to be said for not only how it acclimates them to travel, to just start doing it as early as possible, which I think will help you out in the future. I think if you randomly start traveling with a 3-year-old, you might be in for a little bit of rude awakening. It's a tough process for them the first time, usually, depending on personality. But there's also something to be said for moms in recovery, because birth requires a recovery process, which people still to this day do not like to talk about that. It's essentially like you went through a major accident or a surgery. I mean, your body is depleted mentally, physically, all of the things. And I had horrible postpartum depression. And I think exactly what I probably could have used is some kind of international vacation. But nowhere in my mind did I even think that was an option. Like, I think it just seems like, no, I can't take your baby places, but you can. You really can. And you're proving it on your Instagram, and I'm loving to watch it. So
it is a lot of fun. And yeah, I always thought people think we're crazy, but then you find your people that like to travel with their young kids, and they're like, heck yeah, do it with the baby and travel, because it's really fun. And like, he's never going to remember it, but we're going to remember it. And we talk about it all the time. We say, oh, remember our trip to so-and-so and how fun it was. So it's great.
And my kids love to look back at pictures. I was showing my son today when we took him to London. I had him in the whole little getup. I posted on my Instagram recently with the big, tall black hat and the little red, what do they call them, beefeater outfits? Mm-hmm. I don't know the right term. But he loves looking back at those pictures. We're going back to London now, so we've been talking about taking him as a baby and all the things we saw and did then. So I think you guys are spot on with how important it is for moms. I felt like I was afraid when I had my first child that I was going to lose my personality completely, that I had to turn into a whole different person once I became a mom. And then I finally realized, no, this child is mine because of my personality. Like, the things that I have, the things I enjoy, those are gifts to give him and for him to experience. You know, I don't know if I'm saying that the right way, but it helped me realize, no, we are just now doing this together, and he's going to see the world through his parents' eyes for now. What about, aside from the bassinet seats, are there any other, while we're talking about being a mom and traveling with young children, any other travel tips that you really want to share that you've learned thus far?
Yeah. Something I think I lucked into is that my baby, for like the first 4 months of his life, always wanted to contact nap. Like, you could not put him down. So what that turned out to doing, we ended up doing, was just wearing him in a baby carrier for almost every single one of his naps. But he learned to just sleep on the go. And I think we lucked into this. So when we were traveling, he just napped on us. And then this only really applies to like maybe 6 months year olds or less. But like it made traveling those first two big trips so much easier because we didn't have to revolve our schedules around nap time. Now traveling is a little bit different because he likes his dark area. He sleeps longer. He's not sleeping as much. But when they're little, definitely baby carrier is like necessary, like 100% necessary. I don't know. I like to plan, and you guys probably do the same thing with your families, like just one thing a day, like one big ticket item a day. And then the rest kind of just let it go, like be flexible. If you want to go crazy and go see more things, that's fine. Or if you want to just sit in the hotel room, that's fine too. But I found that when prior to baby, we would be go, 10 things on the to-do list every day. We would see every single monument and do all the tours. But now that we're traveling with our baby, we kind of just do one big thing a day and we've kind of gone away from the tours and we actually are really enjoying it. It's like more relaxing. It's not like necessarily like a trip to check off a million boxes. And that's been really fun, at least in this season of life.
No, that sounds amazing to me. We did too much in London, but our countryside, English countryside part of our trip was a lot more like flexible, go with the flow, not as scheduled. And I absolutely loved it. And I think that's really the only kind of travel I kind of want to do now.
Yeah, I was just explaining this to my daughter because she asked me, we just went to the beach and now we're planning to go to Europe this summer. And she was like, some days we do so much, we walk so much that I just end up being tired. And I was like, well, and we talked about the difference between a trip and a vacation. I was like, a vacation is you're going to a resort and you're chilling all day. What we're doing is called a trip. And yes, it is going to be a lot of steps.
Yeah. Well, that actually reminds me. When I think I'll die on this hill. I think that traveling on a trip is easier with a baby, at least. You guys will have to chime in about like older kiddos. I think when you're traveling with a baby, going on a trip where you're like going out into a city and doing other things is easier than like a quote unquote vacation. I'll give you an example. We went to Costa Rica, just my husband, I, and the baby, and he was 9 months at the time. And we felt like in our mind, we were on this beautiful resort. We stayed at Andaz Papagayo Peninsula.
Oh, nice.
And in our mind, we think, oh, it's beach. We're relaxing. We're going to have a great vacation, sit by the pool, drink some cocktails. That's not the case when you bring a baby along. And so it just totally mismatched our expectations. And we ended up getting food poisoning on the trip. It was a whole ordeal.
No.
It was so bad. Thank God the baby, before he didn't get food poisoning. But taking care of a baby on a quote unquote relaxing trip was not relaxing. Whereas going to like Europe with the baby, you're expecting to go and like maybe go to the park and you're going to get lunch and you're going to just kind of go about your day in a city. It's a lot. I think it's easier to do it that way.
Yeah, I agree too, because when they're that age, when they're super, super little, it feels like they just need things constantly, but you don't have anywhere to go to keep you busy. Mm-hmm. And like at home, you can go on walks and go to the park and do all this. But at a resort, you want to just be able to sit still and chill. And there's so little of that with babies. Yeah, that would actually be very disappointing. Now, I can tell you from experience that when your kid gets to like 13 and they're so self-sufficient, you don't have to watch them in the pool. They're not crying and asking for things most of the time. Then you can rejoin the world of resort travel with your kids. And it's pretty relaxing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that day.
Yes. Don't rush it too much, though. It's hard.
I don't want it to rush. It can wait, but that will be a nice day. Well, or bring the grandparents. Like we've gone to a resort.
There you go.
And then they get to hang out with the baby, and I get to sit by the pool for like an hour and read my book. It was really nice.
Hey, that's a life hack. That's a life hack.
Before we get into, we're going to go through credit cards. We're going to kind of do a round robin today and each talk about our latest credit card that we signed up for, why we signed up for it, what perks we think are impressive with the card. But before we do that, I just want to, before we leave the topic of children, I want to tell you guys a couple of products. This is not like an advertisement, but a couple of things that I think are really helpful with kids that I have found. I've been through it now. My son is just 12, so I'm not quite to the teenage years yet, but for the young children, a couple things I found helpful, and we will link these in the show notes. We do have an Amazon affiliate link, but we're not paid in any other way than the commission. But it is room darkening curtains. Some, they have little suction cups on them. If you're not in a hotel, in a hotel, they pretty much have room darkening curtains as a part of the hotel. But if you're in an Airbnb or some kind of vacation rental, you do not always have good room darkening curtains. I even use them at home in my child's bedroom. So they have little suction cups and you can travel. We'll link that. Also, there is a toddler cot that I have used. I took it to Baja Mar. I've taken it to New York City. I've taken it all over the place. When I'm trying to fit a family of five into one hotel room, my little one has slept on this toddler cot for quite a while now. And we have been so happy with it. It's a company, a family-owned company out of Minnesota that makes them. We will link those. Okay. The other product that I thought of when we brought up that London trip, and I did post this on my Instagram. We're going back to London, okay? I have a toddler still, so we were talking about what stroller we're going to take, and I think we're going to take our Bob jogging stroller. That is the exact same stroller that we took to London when my son, who is now 12 and a half, was 4 months old. We took it up and down the stairs of the tube. We took it all around London. It was great. We've taken that stroller all over the world. And I was like, wow, we are still using the exact, we've had to maybe replace a tire at some point. But otherwise, Joe has seen this stroller. You remarked about what good of condition it's still in. We've been using this stroller for 12 years and it's still going strong. So we will link that too. If you're a new mama and you're trying to pick out some things, these things have worked for us.
Yes. And one last thing, guys, tiny sound machine, like especially because I still do carry on only, although I'm thinking if you're traveling with a baby, that would be a lot harder to do. But our regular at home sound machines are big and bulky. And I found this great little cube one for traveling that has a good sound, not an obnoxious sound. A lot of times the electronic ones make really obnoxious noises. The ones we have at home are just like wind moving sounds and are very nice. So we'll link this one as well, because I don't know about you guys, but if you sleep in a room with a baby or kids at all, you feel like you can't get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. You can't do anything because that baby's going to wake up and your life is going to be over for the next few hours. So product tips. We've never done that before. We've never just done like product highlights.
Well, I was inspired. We're talking about all these, you know, tips and our thoughts of traveling with kids, and you need things. Unfortunately, they require a lot of things. So those are some things that have helped me.
Okay. Let's dig into cards then. So we're all kind of going to go around and talk about the cards that we've gotten recently. And we're going to start with Allie. You opened an Alaska Airlines card. So what made that card stand out compared to other airline cards? And walk us through the process of why you chose it.
Yeah, I got the Alaska business card, actually, okay. Because I didn't want it to count towards my 524. I am at the point now where I have to start getting into more what I'm calling obscure cards. Because I feel like at this point in my journey, I've gotten all the big ones, or I'm on my second pass of the big ones, because I could, if you wait a certain amount of time, you can oftentimes get a welcome bonus again. But anyways, I decided to get this Alaska business card. Because Alaska has been a very hot topic recently.
Yes, it has.
Mostly because of Amex and like the back door to basically, it's over now, unfortunately, folks. But you used to be able to transfer from Amex to Hawaiian. And then Hawaiian and Alaska just partnered probably this spring. And so you were able to move your Hawaiian points to Alaska. So basically you're able to convert your Amex points to Alaska. And Alaska sounds like silly, like what are you going to do with Alaska points? But they're a really great sweet spot. I've been wanting to go to Japan. Like it's on my like 3 to 5 year bucket list. I don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen, but Alaska can get you on Japan Airlines first or business class for really cheap. And I don't want to butcher the numbers, but something in the matter of like 70,000 points, like in business class. It's insane.
Wow. That is
so
insane.
So I told myself I just wanted to squirrel away some Alaska points. I'm flying Alaska to Hawaii in August. And I was I used this backdoor Amex trick almost. And I was really impressed at their offerings and how many points it was. And some of the legs of the trip were actually flying Hawaiian. So I think it's a good idea to have Alaska points. They're very flexible. And they can go pretty far. So this card was giving me 60,000 Alaska miles plus what they call their famous companion fare, which is basically you get to, if you buy an economy flight with cash, so not an award booking, if you buy an economy flight with cash, then you can also get a companion and they only have to pay $99 plus the taxes and fees for that flight. So I don't know when or how I'm going to use that, but it's a pretty good price. Yeah,
it is. It's a little bit obscure. Everyone hears it, I think, and thinks of like Southwest Companion Pass. It is not the same. And I think it's a one-time thing, right?
One-time thing, yep.
Yeah. But the Alaska business card is such a smart way to go right now. I was actually wondering, with your trip to Hawaii, did the Alaska fare price come out better than like just booking with the straight Hawaiian miles? Like, did you, because if you move them, obviously, like we said, it's over, so you can't do it now. But if you had moved them from Amex to Hawaiian and Hawaiian to Alaska, is there a difference? Did you look at Hawaiian Airlines at all when you were choosing?
No, I'm trying to remember. I don't even know if I did. I feel like there were some weird periods in time where like you could do certain things on the Alaska website versus Hawaiian website, but like then they hadn't completely merged yet. So I don't remember, but that's a good thing to look into if they have difference in prices. I guess it doesn't matter now that thing is shot. But
Sad. But I just moved a bunch of points over speculatively because some of my best domestic redemptions are Alaska on AA. So, but like you mentioned, there's also really good sweet spots for some super cool international. I mean, 70K in business class to go that far is crazy. That's so good.
Don't
so
hold we can't me to the 70K, to but it's somewhere in that ballpark somewhere in there. Where you can get there. They also, you can book Starlux through Alaska, which is like some obscure airline, but apparently very nice. And I don't know much about it, but I know people like it a lot and it's more of a luxury airline.
Yeah, if you have flown Starlux, send us a DM or a comment in the Facebook group or something, because we actually would love to talk about that on the podcast because it is obscure and nobody has come forward like, hey, I've got a great Starlux story. Mm-hmm. So we want to hear the Starlux story.
Now, one note I just wanted to say on the companion fare. So a lot of times with a welcome offer, you may get a access when you meet the terms and conditions of the welcome offer, it may give you a companion fare, but also you can earn it once a year. Is that right, Allie?
Yeah. So if you continue to spend another 6,000 on the card, you can earn it another year. Yeah. And I'm looking it up now. So yeah, you can earn it every year as long as you need to spend 6,000 or more on the card a year.
Okay. So it's a one time a year thing if you keep doing the spend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, with that Alaska business card that you chose, does it help you with having elite status or priority boarding, free checked bags, any of those good things?
Yeah, it comes with a couple nice perks. You get a free checked bag for cardholders and up to 6 guests. It must be on the same reservation when you pay. So it's saying that's $70 per person round trip in savings. You get priority boarding, which is nice. You also get $100 off their annual Alaska Lounge Plus membership. So I don't know if that means just Alaska lounges, and those are probably few and far between, but that's an interesting perk. And then 20% back on any Alaska Airlines in-flight purchases.
Okay.
So it's pretty standard. I would say these are aligned with other airline cards. Nothing too out of the ordinary.
Yeah, I think this is a good one. It's on my radar as well. I just kind of thought I might get the Hawaiian business first while that back door there is still open, because you can't go from Amex to Hawaiian anymore, but you can still go from Hawaiian to Alaska. So that partnership, I believe, is going to be closing. And I've heard that they're doing away with the Hawaiian credit cards. Now I feel like I just made that up.
I've heard that too. So then I was thinking of getting a Hawaiian credit card. Verdict's still out on whether or not what those cards are going to look like, and what is the transferring of points look like.
Right. There's a lot of changes coming down the pipeline and nothing set in stone and no exact timeline set in stone. So that makes it really hard to know when. Same with like the Barclays card. It's like it's going away in 2026, but we have no details. And so it makes it really tough when we're trying to put our card strategies together. But because I just want to have basically all the Alaska miles possible, I think I would do that and then do the Alaska business card down the road, because I don't think that's going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And one thing to add about this Alaska business card, this is one person's experience, but I do have a friend that said they've gotten this Alaska business card multiple years in a row, like each year.
Oh.
So your mileage may vary, but it could be a nice little stash of a reoccurring stash of points.
Okay, which bank does it partner with?
Which bank? It's Bank of America, which this was my first Bank of America card. They're so bad. The user interface is like from the 90s. I've never seen
it. Oh my gosh.
It is so hard to keep track of. That's been hard. And basically, like, if you try, I'm one of those people, I like to pay my credit cards like weekly.
Yes. And,
but it does some weird math if you pay it off before the statement generates. It's been weird. So I'm basically going to hit the sign up bonus on this and then be done with it because it's too complicated.
Yeah. No, that doesn't sound fun at all. I do like a good user interface. And I've heard that Bank of America can be funny. Like, they really like you better if you maybe have a Bank of America bank account. Did you have any relationship with them before you went for this card?
No. And I had so many DMs asking me the same exact thing when I told my followers that I got this card. Everybody had been like, I'd gotten denied, or I've heard if you have an account with them. I've never had an account with them, never had a card with them, nothing. So either I'm lucky or I don't know what happened.
I'm curious. Okay, I'm getting really in the weeds here, but I'm curious just about like card history. What was the space since the card you opened previously, and what was your velocity like over the last year?
It had been pretty slow. I hadn't gotten a card. Well, I'd gotten a card maybe a month or two before, but it had been like 5 or 6 months prior. I had only gotten a couple cards in the matter of like maybe two cards in a matter of 6 months or so. My husband was opening up a lot of cards during that time instead. So that could have helped.
Okay. Yeah, they're all so different. And it's nice to hear kind of the random data points to try and kind of figure out maybe what they're looking for. Yeah, I've heard a lot of weird stories about people getting denied for B of A cards.
Another new card that you just got, Allie, was the Chase Sapphire Reserve Business Card. Everybody has been hearing lately about the massive changes to the personal Chase Sapphire Reserve. And now we have this Chase Sapphire Reserve Business Card that is offering this massive, whopping 200,000 Chase Ultimate Rewards points, which is incredible. Of course, the minimum spend for that, though, is very high at 30,000 over the first 6 months. What sold you on this new card? Was it the sign-up bonus just being so big?
Mm-hmm. You know, this one has been so hot, and it's a new card, so everybody's excited over it. I've definitely drank the Kool-Aid on it. I got this card for the sign-up bonus. Like, 200,000 Chase Ultimate Rewards points is unheard of.
Yeah.
Especially with where the status of Ink cards are right now. They're hard to come by, at least if you have a couple of them. Or like me, I've had, I don't know, between my husband and I, maybe a dozen Ink cards. I've gotten denied for Ink cards. I haven't been able to get one since 2023.
Oh,
November 23, so that helps a little bit. But my point being is that my Chase points have been hard to come by recently. And I applied for the Chase Sapphire Reserve Business. It's a mouthful. To give you some more data points, it was my card. I have an EIN, so it was for my content creation business. I hadn't been approved for a Chase card since early 2024, I got a Freedom Unlimited. So it'd been a while since I had gotten a Chase card.
Okay, guys, we will get right back to the episode. But before we do, we need to tell you about one of our favorite travel products on the market right now. And Mary Ellen, you got a chance to try this recently, and I was so excited to see what you thought because I got to try it on my long flight. And now we put it to the test on an ultra long road trip. Tell us all about it.
Yes. Okay, guys, you've heard us talk about Firefly Recovery a couple times now. We first mentioned them, I think, back in May, talking about walking around DC when Joe came to visit. I put Firefly recovery devices on my legs just to see how they would hold up as we toured all around DC, showed Joe all the monuments, and that was really fun. But we were going to also use them on an international flight and then on a really long road trip just to see how they help us in all forms of travel. So when I drove down to North Carolina recently, I was wearing my Firefly recovery devices because I just, when I do a long road trip, you know how you stop at the gas station and you get out and you can like feel like your body is frozen almost after sitting in the car for so long? It's hard to recover from that. You know, as a nurse, circulation is really important to me. I wanted to wear these because you just don't have great circulation when you are sitting still, stationary in a car for many hours. So I wore them. They worked well. I definitely felt like I had good blood flow throughout my legs, feeling fresh. It was much easier to recover once I got out of the car. So I'm giving them 2 thumbs up.
Yeah. And let's not forget, they are so much easier to wear, so much easier to hide, so much better looking, and 3 times the blood flow of compression socks. So, I mean, if you didn't need another reason not to wear compression socks besides the fact that they're hideous, hot, sweaty, uncomfortable, I could go on and on. Like, these are really a game changer in so many ways. And one pair lasts you 30 hours, and that's a lot of travel time. It's a great investment.
Okay, so guys, if you want to try Firefly Recovery, we have a link for you in the show notes, or you can use code WONDERLAND at checkout to get 15% off.
We love Firefly Recovery. We want you guys to give them a try. Head down to our show notes or to the website. You know that we would never recommend anything to you unless we try it and love it ourselves. And this is our 3rd time putting it to the test, and it just keeps blowing us out of the water every single time. So now we're going to get you right back to the episode.
But to go back to your original question, I was chasing the sign-up bonus. 200,000 points. It's going to go so far with Hyatt. When I transfer my Chase points to Hyatt is really my long game and what I've been thinking about with this welcome offer. And I'm just excited to see, like, what are they going to do with this offer? Are they ever going to decrease it? Are they going to keep it at 200,000? I don't know what'll happen.
Are they going to make the spend a little bit more reasonable? Because it's crazy to me that it's like, okay, well, you can get, you know, just under 100,000 for spending, what, 5 or 6,000 over here, but you want double the points and you've got to go multiple times that spend. I feel like that's a little rude. Chase.
It's much more in line with those Capital One venture business required, those minimum spends that are just so high. Did you have any experience when you applied with the new format where they tell you whether or not you're going to be eligible for the welcome offer before they do the hard pull and the official sign up?
No, so I heard they have that out. I don't know if it's on, at least I never saw that pop up on my business application. So I don't know if they're just doing it on the personal Sapphires or not, but I never had that pop up. I just had to click apply, and then I went into review for, let me say, 2 days, and then I got an email saying it was approved. I know. I hate going into review.
No, it's so stressful. I automatically assume that I've gotten denied if I go into review, and I just grieve. You know, it's interesting because we did an episode about the refresh when it happened, but we didn't dig into the business because we assume that most people, frankly, can't meet the spend. So if we could go over the annual fee and the benefits, we don't have to do all of them, but like the ones that you think you'll be able to take advantage of, I think that would be interesting for anybody that maybe has like going to pay estimated taxes, or I know, Joy, our Savvy Travel Mama's friend, I know that she's has to get part of her roof replaced. So she's looking at this card as an option for that kind of thing. So yeah, talk us through all of this.
Yeah. So it comes with a $795 annual fee, which is huge, like
massive,
biggest on the market that I know of. Like even Amex Platinums are $695, though there's rumors that they're going to refresh it. And so who knows what they're going to put that at. But at $795, I think it's one of those cards that I'm thinking about as I keep it for the first year because of the 200,000 point welcome bonus. That's huge. But after year one, I think you're going to be hard pressed to find justification to keep it. But I'll go through what are some of the high items that I think are worthwhile that they're going to give you. They're going to give you a $300 annual travel credit. I find that actually very easy to use. Like, I didn't even do anything, and I saw, like, we were in Switzerland and I was using this card. I bought tickets to a train, and then like the next day it reimbursed the $27 or whatever it was. It reimbursed it in small increments up to $300. So that one's really easy to use. So that essentially brings you down to a $495 annual fee. The other hot items are a $500 annual credit to what they're calling the Edit. It's a collection of hotels that they have, but they make it more difficult to use. You'll get $250 from the months of January to June, and then another $250 from July to December. Mm-hmm. And you have to book these Edit hotels within Chase Travel Portal, and you have to do two-night minimums.
Yeah.
So unless you're already going to stay at one of these hotels, then great. But I feel like you're going to end up spending more money than you intended on just to be able to use this credit. So yeah, we'll see about that. You do get airport lounge access. And now that the Capital One Venture X is removing the lounge access for two complimentary guests, the Sapphire Reserve Business is actually kind of competitive here because primary cardholder gets to bring in two guests for free. That's a great perk.
Yeah. Very competitive. This is, to me, the biggest perk and the biggest reason to maybe switch over to have this be the primary, you know, big ticket card for that lounge access.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would be interested to see, we can look it up on the side. Like, there aren't that many Capital One lounges. I'm really lucky out of IAD, there's one near me. But like, how many Chase lounges are there? There might be more. And if you have this Chase Sapphire Reserve Business, you're going to be able to get into those lounges. So it's a good reason to maybe keep the card as like, if you have a family, like you said, Mary Ellen. Okay, a couple other ones that I think are kind of not really helpful. It depends on your spending. $400 to ZipRecruiter. I don't really know what you're going to do with that. $200 to an annual Google Workspace credit. I actually use Google Workspace, so I could use it there, but an interesting one. You get $120 every 4 years to use for Global Entry TSA PreCheck. That's nothing special. It's on a bunch of card nowadays, but if you don't have that, great. You get $100 towards giftcards.com. I still haven't looked into that one. But random. It's broken into two $50 credits. Like, I'm assuming you get to go and buy a gift card from this website. We'll see. And then what I like to call more coupon-based credits, you get $300 in annual DoorDash statement credits, but they are broken up so annoyingly. It's like $10 here, $20 there. It's very small increments. So you end up spending, I think, more money because who's actually spending $10 on DoorDash? Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. We have found that same thing for like the non-restaurant DoorDash pass credits with the Chase Sapphire Preferred and all of that. I mean, I do try to just like get a 7-Eleven pickup order with a few coffees in it or something and don't spend over $10, but they are super annoying to use. And when you're talking about a card with an annual fee that is this high and like that's the kind of stuff you're giving us, you're just nickel and diming us with these credits that could make us spend more money. I find that to be also rude. Mm-hmm. Where's the good stuff?
Yeah. So it's going to be hard. They've got also like if you spend $120,000 in a calendar year, you get IAG Diamond Elite status and Southwest A-List status, which I don't know who's spending that much on one credit card, but let's talk and we can find a different strategy for your points. Because
yeah, I don't say probably no one who's really into points and miles.
Not a great way to spend. You could spend your money a lot better and get way more points for that.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, we didn't really mean for this to be a business card episode, but in thinking about it, all four of us were going to mention our latest cards, and they are all business cards. So this is more of a business card round robin than anything else. Joanna, you just opened the Amex Blue Business Plus card times two, actually. So tell us a little bit about why you chose that card.
Right. So actually, I was shocked. I think I'm a little time blind. Other ADHD people will probably feel me on this one. Time blindness is a thing. So I was like, I don't remember when my last card was before this one. It probably was, you know, not that long ago. And then I looked and it was January, which seems like a different lifetime. So I'm going really slow right now because I went way too fast last year. I did try in between my Blue Business Plus in January and the Blue Business Plus I just opened. I tried to get an Ink Unlimited, actually, Mary Ellen, the one that you got, and for the same reason that you'll talk about in a minute, and I was denied, which really annoyed me. Chase is a little mad at me. I have been a little I have a lot of Chase cards. I've been trying to figure out where I can cut back and get back in their good graces. I do think it's interesting, Allie, that they like weren't giving you Ink business cards, but they're like, sure, have this Sapphire business card. That, but maybe you're back. Maybe you can get an Ink now again. Who knows?
I don't know. Every time I get optimistic and apply and then I'm denied.
it's such a bad feeling. It's a terrible feeling. And you have to see that little credit hit and you're like, ouch. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it. But Blue Business Plus, and I talked about this already, so I feel like I don't want to harp about it too much in this episode, but it is such a good one for me to round out my Amex strategy. First of all, it's a no annual fee card, and that's beautiful. And it's just two times on everything. And that's such a nice kind of no-brainer card because I already know I'm grabbing the gold for groceries and dining, and then I grab this one for everything else if I'm kind of in a Amex acquiring mode, or, you know, maybe I'm doing all Capital One, or maybe I'm doing Chase, depending on where I'm going and what my trips are looking like. I get really specific about earning categories in different currencies. And so I like to have card options for every currency that give me the maximum amount of points in different categories, because I'm just not doing as many signup bonuses as I was. Just because when you get to a point, as you mentioned, like where you just have a ton of cards, you're getting denied, like you kind of just have to switch your thinking about it. So I ended up getting the Blue Business Plus in January for a minute little 25,000 signup bonus, which is still 10,000 over the regular signup bonus. And I did that because I knew I wanted the card. I needed a new card. Nothing else was really looking good. I wanted a business card. And so I did it after waiting and waiting and waiting and trying to trigger a higher offer, and it never came. And then here we are 6-7 months later, and I get a mailer for the $75,000 offer. And I was like, what? Like, I could do this again? And I did. Same business, sole proprietor, everything exactly the same. And they gave it to me. And so, moral of the story, which again, I've already said, is don't necessarily be afraid to go for that little baby offer because they like to reward loyalty. Amex is very, very much about spending on their cards, clicking on their stuff, adding your offers. Like, the more that you do, obviously, we have no proof that this is what's causing these things to happen, but it does seem that there's a trend there.
I really like that card as well. I do think that it is in my future. I am just where you were in January, where I keep weighing, should I do this for 25K? I just got an email. I made sure when I was logged into my Amex account to go click on business cards, click on the Blue Business Plus to try to tell Amex, hey, I'm interested in this card. Send me some offers for this card. And I have seen the 25 before and didn't, you know, jump on it. Now they've sent me an email that has the 25K offer. So it is something I'm considering just for the fact that I really want to get the 75K offer, but you know, it might be down the road once I have. Right now, I don't have a business relationship with Amex at all. And I think you tend to get that bigger offer once you already have established a business relationship with them. So I may need to start small and go from there. Allie, do you have this card?
I don't, but my husband uses this as his everyday business card because he is like a 1099 contractor. That's his full time. So he uses it because it's easy to just hand him one card. I will say it's 2x on up to 50,000 a year.
Right. So I don't spend that.
Yeah.
So I didn't even think of that.
That that could be not enough, but then you can get a second one just like you did.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that is important, especially for people who are using it strictly for their businesses and have high spend businesses. It is very good to point that out. For me, I'm diversifying all of my spending. There's no way $50,000 is ever going on one card ever. So yeah, I don't even think about it. I just swipe it where I should. And really, there's nothing to write home about in terms of, you know, like any perks of the card or anything like that that I care about. It's just nice that it has no annual fee. And the first 12 months, at least the offers I've gotten have been interest-free, which is nice if you're doing something big and you want to spread out your payments. We generally say pay your credit card off in full every single month. We don't want you going into debt. But there are times, there are moments where you come into a big thing you have to pay for in life. And if you can give yourself a little bit of breathing room to pay it off slowly and be earning good travel rewards, that's nice. Because most of the time, travel rewards cards are 28% interest or something completely psychotic. And you don't want to even get your toes near that line. Mm-mm. So I don't want us to run out of time. So I want us to move on to Mary Ellen, your turn. You opened a Chase Inc. Business Unlimited, and kind of for a fun reason, that was a wild thing that happened for just a very short amount of time, but might come back. So people keep your eyes on that. Tell everybody what you did and why.
This was a whim for me. I opened this one on a whim. I was not planning on opening it. But I was in a space where I could open a new card. But back in May, Rakuten, everyone knows we love the Rakuten shopping portal. I have it linked to my Amex account. So I earn Amex membership rewards points back through Rakuten. They had one of their big weeks, which they tend to do several times a year, where everything had really increased bonuses that you could earn when you were shopping. But it also had a Chase Inc. Business Unlimited. If you signed up for the new card,
so wild,
you earned 30,000 membership rewards points. So $300 cash back, it said, which is 30,000 Amex membership rewards points. Plus, you get the 75,000 welcome offer from Chase. So I was earning 75,000 Chase Ultimate rewards plus 30,000 Amex membership rewards. So altogether, this is a no annual fee card. I was like, you know what? I think this is one of those times that I am going to get that shiny new offer syndrome and go for it. And so I did sign up for it. I got the 30,000 pending, ready to go for my Rakuten account. Hopefully get it next month when they do their quarterly deposit of points into your Amex account. And then I did earn the welcome offer. So that was 75,000 Chase points, because as we have mentioned, the Chase points that we love to use for Hyatt are getting harder and harder to come by as far as the welcome offers go. We know now that we're just not going to be able to get as many of them. So it has made us panic a little bit, because we know how valuable those points are, and they might not come in big chunks anymore. We might have to do it the old-fashioned way through really maximizing categories and everyday spending. So it was a great opportunity to snag some of those points that I will use for Hyatt and some Amex. It's fun to earn Chase and Amex at the same time in the same sign-up bonus.
When I tried to get it, that's where I got denied. And I just thought, like, that's crazy. That's unheard of to be able to earn Amex points on a Chase card. Like, what are you guys doing? But, you know, don't question a good thing. Allie, I'm sure you have this card. Is there anything you particularly like about the Unlimited, or was it really more about the points for you?
More about the points. But, I mean, it is nice to have an unlimited, what is it, 2X?
One and a half.
1.5.
Yeah, I can't keep them all straight anymore. But it's nice to have that. So like I tell folks, if they want to use it as a business card, there's probably better options, but it's not a bad option, I would say. Nothing to write home about besides the welcome bonus.
True. But I will tell you where I use it in my strategy when I'm in my Chase only earning strategy. It's my Costco card, because first of all, you can only use a Visa at Costco, which is super, super annoying. And none of my, obviously Amex is not Visa, and my Capital One is a MasterCard. So I was using the Chase Sapphire Preferred here, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, I could at least be getting 1.5 times on Costco purchases. And I spend a lot at Costco. Costco is a big one for us because it just makes more sense for our grocery budget to be buying stuff in bulk. I'm not going to spend 2 or 3 times the price to go to the grocery store to get 4 times the points over there. I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. So at least this is a good place. Now, I know that people sometimes will use like Instacart workarounds to try to get online grocery 3 times the points. That oftentimes ends up costing more, and I don't like doing that. So, you know, there are other ways to do Costco. I think there's gift card workarounds maybe. I would have to say I didn't get really in the weeds on that, but that is kind of just an easy one that I know. I just use this card anytime I go to Costco.
Okay, guys. Well, that is just an overview of a bunch of different business cards and which cards we have been getting lately. It always, we tell people over and over again, don't, even though I just said that I got shiny new card syndrome, don't just get shiny new card syndrome. Really think about what your travel goals are and which cards best align with those. You do have a lot more flexibility if you get a card that has transferable points, because then you're not pigeonholed into one airline or one hotel chain. So flexible points really are king in this, and all of the cards that we mentioned today, well, not the Alaska business card, although there are transfer partners there, so there's still some flexibility with how you use those points. But think about how you're going to use points, or what your, I love earlier, Allie, when you said my 3 to 5 year bucket list, travel bucket list, because that's what I'm always thinking in my head. I'm thinking, where am I going in the next few years? Where do I want to go? And how does that direct my steps as to what card to get? And mm-hmm. if you are thinking of opening a new card, please don't Google for an offer unless there is just not a creator or a friend or a family member that has a referral link, because we're all sharing knowledge here and someone should get the benefit of you signing up versus just Googling for it. So we will put some links in the show note, or you can reach out to any of us, Allie, me, or Joanna on our Instagram accounts, and we would be happy to send you some of our personal links.
Absolutely. And Allie, before we let you go, tell everybody what card is on your radar maybe next, and what's your next points and miles trip?
Okay. Well, I'll do the easy one. I'm going to Hawaii in August.
So fun.
We're going to do the Hyatt Regency Maui and then Grand Hyatt Kauai. So I'm so excited to go back.
Yay.
My next card, I don't know. I'm really dying to get another Amex Platinum, but I'm like waiting for an 150. I want a good mailer. My husband gets the best mailers. I get horrible mailers. So I'm hoping he gets a good mailer in soon. But I don't have anything on my list right now. I mean, I might try for another Chase Inc. now that I know that Chase might like me. But or alternatively, I'll just get my husband the Alaska business card and kind of our Alaska points. That's probably the best best thing to do next, actually.
Yeah. I love it. It's so hard. I've spent a lot of time agonizing over what my next card would be. And it's funny because at the beginning, I don't think I was like that at all. I was like, see it, jump on it over and over and over and over. And I wouldn't necessarily recommend that. But it is kind of easy because at the beginning, everything's a good offer when you haven't exhausted the list. So, all right. Well, we know that you've got a heart out, and we so appreciate you taking time to be with us today. Remind our listeners where they can find you so they can follow all your good stuff on motherhood, points and miles, travel, all the goodies.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Travel Pointers with Allie. I've definitely started as like a points and miles creator. It's funny. Someone asked me when I was pregnant, I was like, are you going to go into all mom mode or all mom content? I was like, no, that's not going to happen. And here I am. I just have so much fun sharing like what I'm learning. By no means an expert, but I have so much fun sharing what I'm learning traveling with a baby. So I'm doing a little bit of both. I'm traveling with baby content as well as points and miles content and kind of where they intersect.
Yeah, love that so much. Guys, I will link Allie in the show notes so it's super easy for you guys to find her and follow her there. And again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to be with you guys.
We had the best time having you here. Bye.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new Travel Rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.